JT. I'm not on the course for once. I've been doing these things for a while, and the past couple weeks have got out of rhyme and reason, so I'm going to try to fix that moving forward. I just want to ramble for a little bit, and I know I've got a few people listening out there. I can see there's a few downloads here and there, but so for those of you that's listening, I greatly appreciate it. This is one I wanted to do from the one episode I just posted. I was all over the place with that one, so it really it was kind of messed up. The game was messed up. We were playing Meeks Park on that one, and that was on January 13th. And on the 13th, when I left there, because I was in Georgia, that's where Meeks Park is Georgia. I have to go through Tennessee and stuff to come back up towards Virginia, because I live in Virginia now. And we hit Milligan University, a little nine-hole course that I just wanted to grab another course. And so I managed to get two for today, and then the weather wasn't the best in the world for playing, but Milligan was a negative one. It's a little like pitch and putt. It's pretty easy. It's on a university, so but it was neat. It's cool. I wouldn't go out of my way to go play it again, but if I'm in the area and if you need something to do, I guess it works. No pads or anything, so like I said, don't go out of your way to go do it. I mean, if you're in the area, knock yourself out. But it just happened to be the closest one I had coming up through. Most of the other ones in the area I've already played. So we got Meeks Park done. We got Milligan done. Middle of the week here, I was on my way back. I was doing some work up in Lynchburg for my day job. And on the way back, I got done a little bit early. One of them rescheduled on me, and the other one went pretty quick because I realized that we couldn't do what they needed them to do, put it that way. My day job, I'm not really going to discuss as far as what I do in details, because we actually have non-disclosures that said that anything we do at work needs to stay offline. It's not to be shared with social media platforms. So that's usually why I'm vague about my day job. The media stuff, I'm still doing it. I still have my weekends off. I'm still going to be doing the racing. Not as much as I have in the past. I'm going to focus on getting my crap together and focus a little more on disc golf. And try to utilize Saturdays to grab a new course. We're going to try to get one tomorrow. At the moment, I feel like crap, so I don't know if I'm going to. But it's just been a really, really... Today was a really tough day. I was on the road at 6:12. I didn't get back till after 6. Just a lot of driving, and it just... The weather was absolutely horrid. We had snow flurries, ice, rain. Had a little bit of everything today that I had to deal with. And when you're in the southern legs of Virginia, northern parts of Tennessee, it can get pretty ugly at times. So, it was trying, but I mean, I'm used to driving, so it's not a big deal. So, but that one course we grabbed was over in Bedford. Bedford is actually here in Virginia, and there's a couple courses over there I haven't got around to doing yet. But they had a little nine-hole course at a welcome center, so I went ahead and stopped and just got in some putting. And I was a couple of way I changed the way I pull through for the putts, and it seemed to work. So I, even though it was a very quick game, I actually took something away from it. So I'm going to try to get in a good serious game tomorrow. And I haven't done a full 18 in the snow yet. I've done just about every other climate, but I haven't got the snow yet. My hottest game played was in North Texas early last year. It was 114 degrees. It is up on the podcast, so if you go back a little bit, you'll see it on Texas. But it was 114, and it was a pretty rough day. I mean, North Texas is a pretty dry area. I played a course in South Carolina during a hurricane. We were catching one side of it, and That one actually kind of sucked because it was called The Sarge, and my phone died about three quarters of the way through, so we only recorded the first part. It couldn't make out anything. We were rain. I was ankle deep in water. It's just absolute mess of a game. The coldest temperature would have probably be the Missouri game. I was playing one at Bourg-Lazare, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, which I'm probably not. There's a course right before that that sits off a lake, and when I started, it was 11 degrees just temperature-wise. And the first two baskets I hit, actually ice fell off the chains because it had icicles and stuff hanging off of it. But it was... because when I got up, it was around 11. Because on that morning, I'd slept in a truck stop the night before, so I couldn't feel my feet when I woke up the next morning. So I definitely had to get out and get moving. So, played just all kinds of temperatures. So, I mean, played in pouring rain. Got caught in one where about midway through I had, or no, about three quarters of the way through, and literally it was raining really bad. And, lightning shot off, but I was like, I've only got two holes left. We're going to finish this damn hole. So I can't, other than snow, playing in the snow, I can't think of any other condition I haven't covered. New Mexico, I did high winds. I did massive ravines in Texas, in north, that would have been northeastern Texas. Flooded swamps, did some Louisiana course. So I played in some swamp lands, and Florida's always a mess with the freaking mosquitoes. But and the tick infested things of, what's it called? I think it's called the Champions or the Challenges here or something like that here in Virginia. It's just a tick nightmare if you play it in the middle of the year. But so for those of you who haven't listened to the other podcasts, or maybe haven't been listening to me that long, I haven't really been playing that long. I began playing in June of 2022. I picked up UDisc in July of the same year of 2022. I actually started using it July 15th. And I was doing the motorsports event stuff, and I travel a lot, and I didn't want to drive back to Florida. And sometimes when I'm working one event to another, I'll have a week or two down where I'm not doing anything. So I used to play disc golf back in the mid-90s just for recreationals with my brother-in-law, and played a couple tournaments back then, but I was never into it like I am now. And I got back into it. In Maryland, one of the first courses I played when I got back into it was a nice little course in Maryland, Turkey Hill. And so I had fun with it. And I was like, all right, well, let's do this. When I got downtime, let's do this. I was already running, and I continue to do that today. Matter of fact, I got to do a run Sunday. And so I got back into it, and I played probably four or five courses. And then I was in Cannon Ridge in Virginia. Beautiful course, by the way, and a great course. First 11, it beats the shit out of you, but it's a good course. It's one of my favorites. And some people were traveling from North Carolina to Ohio, and we were talking, and I was going to be in Ohio the following month. I had an event up in Ohio to go do. And they were telling me about some courses they like there, and they made a comment about UDisc, so they told me about UDisc. And that's when I really, when I looked at UDisc and started looking at YouTube content to try to get better, that's when I realized the sport was a hell of a lot bigger than it was when I was originally playing it back in the 90s, so mid-90s. So on July 15th, I started logging in my games. Now, so from July of 2022 to today, what the hell is today's date? I'm pretty sure it's the 18th, right? So it's January 18th, 2024. Where is my calendar? 19th, I'm sorry. January 19th, 2024, I started using UDisc in July of 2022, and we have played 256 courses in 27 states. If you would like to see it, you can, I've got it posted over on Instagram, and I'll put it up on the website. I have my UDisc map here, and we've played a lot of rounds, and we played a lot of courses. The most courses I played, my home state was originally Florida, but I relocated to Virginia now. And So I played like 25, I think it's either 25 or 27 courses in Florida, but I've played over 50 here in Virginia. I think that little short course I played, I think that's 52 in Virginia, but Virginia I've played more than any other state. I haven't got that little northeast corner yet, you know, where New York and stuff is, and I haven't got the other side like Wyoming, Indiana, Utah, Arizona. I was going to get them because I was originally going to relocate to Colorado, but that didn't work out, so... But I'll get over there and get them done. I mean, I got Michigan done this year. I got, last year. I got, last year, I had 21 states coming into 2023. And then I managed to add the additional states, seven additional states in 2023. Oklahoma, I added Kansas, Colorado, Michigan, Ohio. I already had Illinois, Indiana. I already had Kentucky and Alabama. We just added more courses. I just did more courses in some of the ones that I passed through, like Texas, for instance. My traveling allows me to play a lot of different courses, and I've played a lot. I mean, a lot of people ask me what my favorite is. I have brought it up in a couple podcasts. Jenkins Mountain holds a special place because that's really what got me interested in playing tournaments, was Jenkins Mountain here in Virginia. Beautiful course, beautiful winery, Little Washington Winery, if you want to look it up. Great people, great tournaments, always a good time. Tough course, but not stupid tough. It's tough enough that it'll beat the hell out of a pro when they play longs. If you're playing human pads, it'll still beat up on you, but it's a great course, great people. My goal in 2023 was to do 10 tournaments. That's one, because I started playing in 2022. At the beginning of 2023, I played tournaments. I figured, well, I want to do at least 10. Just to give myself a goal. I work better when I give myself a goal. I ended up with 25. I ended up, at first I was playing my age bracket. Then I found out that with some advice from a pro that I got early in the year, that probably wasn't the wisest move in order to learn and get better. So I dropped to MA3 so that I compete against more people. Downside is I'm competing against people that are half my age. So I have to work on my game. I'm constantly focused on what I am doing wrong. I say this all the time, and I was seeing it again tonight on Instagram. Sorry if I seem a little tired, because I am, but people just, the marketing of disc is so freaking stupid. Y'all need to find discs at work, and if you're talking, and I'm not only talking about people that are serious about gameplay. If you just love disc golf and you like all that marketing bullshit and you want to follow somebody because they're famous, I mean, knock yourself out. I have famous people I like too, but I'm about the game. I'm about making my game better than my last game. And changing disc every other game isn't going to help matters any. I personally take the advice of the pro that I got advice from, was that figure out how what you have throws. And then learn how to throw proper, which I took lessons for. Learn how to throw proper and work on your form. When you get your form worked out, where it's decent and it's comfortable and it's what's working for you, throw your disc with whatever your proper form is. And what happens is that with that form, you then figure out what the disc is going to do. And then once you figure that out, every single time you throw, as long as you throw as close to proper form as you can, you know what that disc is going to do. So you throw the disc for the situation. The pro called it, you play the bag. Don't play the course, play the bag. If your form is right and you're doing everything as close as perfect as possible for your throw, whatever that disc is that you've thrown 100 times, you know what it's going to do when you throw it properly. So if you needed to go right and you needed to come back left, or you needed to go up high and you needed to dive right with a little bit of flat and a little bit of left, then you know what disc it is. Just buying another disc with another stamp on it isn't going to make you any better. People say, well, if you buy a Destroyer, you're going to be a great player. Not necessarily, not if you don't know how to throw the goddamn thing. But again, part of it is figuring out your form. One of the problems I've had is I did lean on YouTube a lot, like many of us do. And I have personally found that that long reach back, because they hammer, so many videos hammer on that long reach back for that pull through. I find that that's not as accurate as they claim it is. You do want to pull back, and you do want to make sure you pull into the pocket and get that pocket down, but not all of us need to reach back. So, I mean, I have no intentions of throwing 500 feet. I would rather be able to smoke 350 and make it go where I want to all day long, because I hate to give you the bearer of bad news. Most people can't throw their freaking disc. So if you play if you can throw par in a tournament, you are going to place. So there's no reason for you to try to Paul Macbeth the damn thing and try to go negative one on everything. So stop buying a new disc because you threw one 10 times and it's not working for you. I mean, be honest with yourself when you throw something wrong. So think about how you just threw whatever it is that you threw. I hear so many guys saying, it never does that, or that thing's, or oh, I gotta get a new one. Oh, that's a piece of shit. No, maybe you just threw the damn thing wrong. I'm the one where I'm going to blame myself before I blame the product. I do have some discs that I don't like, that I just don't like. I mean, I've tried them, and I have honestly tried them, and that's really, really floppy discs, like floppy magnets, and Divergent's got some really floppy gold ones. I just don't care for them. I have tried to make them work, and I have one in my bag, but that's because it has a very specific use, so I very rarely use it. It's when I'm in a severe rocky terrain, I'll use it because I know the thing's going to fold up on me when it hits the ground. So I have a very specific use for that one. But other than that, I don't like to use them. I used Judge putters for a long time. I've tried Wardens, and they didn't work out too well. I went to the Luna 6 Claw, and I actually do like that disc. I still have them in my bag. I'm a big Berg fan, so I like K1 soft Bergs. I'm not a big fan of the hard Berg, but I do like the K1 softs. I have probably three or four of them. I use them for, I have a lot of trick shots I use them for too. But I know what they're going to do. I mean, I know the 6 Claw Luna I have a lightweight one that when I put more of my back towards the basket and I do a high putter, like you're going to Annie it, like you're going to put more right to it, for people that may not know what I'm talking about. When I throw it up high and put some right to it, I know this thing's going to flatten and pull left. It always does. But I have another Luna that's made of the cheaper plastic that won't pull left. It will stay and dive right. So I know what they're going to do. I just have to throw them properly. And I've had some decent success. I mean, it's... but again, I'm more about the game. For the podcast, good or bad, I mean, that's what the recordings are about. I mean, if I suck and I get pissed off, then that's unfortunately what y'all get to hear. And when I have a good game, fortunately, you get to hear that too. So what am I up to? I'm not doing any tournaments for January. I looked at a few. I didn't like them. So I'm just going to take January to grab some new courses and practice. And I'm still working on some personal stuff, some getting some bills caught up and things like that for living basically homeless for quite a few years. And try to work on getting that part of my act together and focus on my disc golf, try to get better with my disc golf. I'm trying to be better than I was before. I'm running again, so I do a running. I try to do two running sessions a week. My job kind of makes that difficult at times. The weather's been really bad here because it's January. It's a lot of snow, a lot of rain, and sleet. So normally I do two runs a week. If I don't do the two runs, then I have to do one long run on Sunday. So basically what I do is do two 7K runs a week. I try to do it like Monday, Thursday. It rarely works out that way. But if I um, if I get one in, but I don't get the other 7K, then I run a 10K on Sunday. If in this case, I didn't get either one in, so now I've got to run a 15 on Sunday. I'll have to do that at a different trail than what I normally do my runs on. So Sunday morning, I'll go get my run done. And just help build up endurance, help me get me back where it needs to be. And I feel so much better after I get a run in, too. So Saturday, tomorrow is a golf day. We'll go grab at least one course, maybe two. I'll probably just go over to Bedford, keep it local and go over to Bedford. And there's a course over there I haven't played yet, so we can get another one marked in. And one of the goals I have for 2024 is to hit 300 courses. Like I said, if we can get one tomorrow, possibly two. I'm looking at my U-disc again. So if we can get two tomorrow, that'll put us at 258, because we're at 256 now. I'll get at least one in tomorrow, maybe two. And then Sunday, I got some work around the house to do. I got to do some stuff for some racers. And I don't really see hitting 300 courses being a real big deal. It's just I'm trying to get out of Virginia. I do have to make a trip to Ohio in February, at the beginning of February, for my day job. So I should be able to grab a couple courses in Ohio on the way up. Or maybe a couple on the way back. I can grab a couple in Tennessee. It's close enough. West Virginia is close enough. So we'll grab some other states too, because I'm just hammering away at these courses in Virginia. Later on in the year, I'll be doing some racing. I'll be up in Maryland. So with that race schedule, I doubt very seriously I'm going to be able to get up into that bottom corner. I'm just gonna have to take a weekend off and just take our drive up there or fly up there, because I mean New Hampshire and stuff like that, that's not a place I'm normally at, so I'm not sure how I'm gonna get those states. So for 2024, I want to do the target again is 10 tournaments. I want to get us up to 300 courses in U-Disc. And I want to get myself over, that's a big stretch. I'd like to be a 900 rated player, but I mean, that's going to be hard to pull off in a year. That's a lot of disc golf, and that's a lot of discipline that I don't currently have at the moment. But if I can get to 875 and hold it and get over 875, I'd be happy with that. But again, my target would be get back to 900. I have played quite a few 900 games in 2023, so I know it's in me. I just got to settle down and stop being lazy and do my fundamentals and do my practicing. So, we'll see what happens. But right now, it's 875 is my score target goal. And there's no real rhyme or reason to it. I just use it as a benchmark. I mean, I'm not comparing it against anybody. I'm not saying, hey, look at me, I'm 875. It's just my running is the same way. When I run, I do my each kilometer at a certain time, so that the next time I do it, I want to do it either just as good or better. But the thing is, with my running, like 7 kilometers, I want all 7 kilometers. If I want my kilometer to be 5 minutes, if I want to run a 5 minute kilometer, I want all 7 to be 5 minutes, not just one of them to be 5 minutes. Same way with my disc golf. So if I want a game, I want a good, solid game. I can handle messing up a shot because I threw it wrong. But when I tank something because I'm being stupid, that's the part I got to get rid of. Get rid of the stupid from my game. If I can get rid of the stupid out of my game, I should throw par no matter where I'm at, or at least close to par no matter what course I walk to. Distance is still tough, so there are courses like New London over here that just are absolute monsters. Big monster 500-foot drives I don't see in my future. It's not something I'm aiming for at the moment. I'm more focused on short game and accuracy, so that's what I'm going to go for. My Bluetooth mic still isn't here, so we're not going to have it for tomorrow, so I'm going to have to use that damn wired mic again. But so, I mean, Amazon just sucks, man. They used to get stuff to me so much quicker. So, I can, I mean, I don't need it same day, but I mean, I ordered the damn thing a week and a half ago, for Christ's sake. I might as well use regular mail. I ordered some discs from regular mail and got them faster than I got this damn thing. So, go figure. What else we got here? Ganon Burr has obviously gone over to Discmania. I love Ganon Burr. Some of my putting techniques came from watching his videos, but I could care less who he plays for, really. Eagle, of course, he's made his jump, so he's over at MVP, and that was like everybody knew that ship was coming. I don't really, I mean, I like players. I mean, I watch the highlights and I watch the events and stuff, but I'm older too. Some of y'all may be younger. I'm older too. And a lot of the stuff that matters to many of you younger people now, you'll realize later on down the line, really, it's basically fucking pointless. My thing is that you do something because it's what you want to do. It's what makes you feel good, whatever that is. I don't care what it is, whether it's disc golf, video games, writing, picking your nose, jerking off. I don't care what it is. So if you're good at something and you want to be better at it, just do it and don't be afraid to change. I mean, I was into cycling for a long time and it evolved into running, and then running dominated for a long time. Now I'm into disc golf and running. If you're into something, just milk it for all it's worth. So, I mean, have fun with it. If you enjoy doing it, go do it. If you like video games, go play them. So, I don't have girlfriend, wife, or anything like that, so I don't have anybody over my shoulder harping at me to come watch some dumbass show on Netflix. So, my kids are all grown, so that's not an issue. Could that change in the future? Probably, I don't know, but it is what it is. The other thing I'm going to touch on too, as I talked about it a little bit on that podcast, is sponsorships. That last episode was really bad, but let me clarify. I've been dealing with partnerships and sponsorships for over almost a decade now, if not slightly more than a decade. So if you're a player, and I was watching Uli and them all then run their pie holes about it too. As a player, okay, if you're being given money by a company, then that company is going to have say-so or whatever you're doing. So if you're an ambassador, that means you are being given a discount. They're not giving you anything. They're probably giving you a 30% discount or a 20% discount. Plus, they're giving you a little link. And if anybody orders anything through that link, they kick you back some change. That's an ambassadorship. Ambassadorships are, I'm not a big fan of them, but they can lead to sponsorships, but it depends on what your value is. So you as a player, if you're asking, and I have helped events, I have actually sponsored events and stuff. So if you come to me and you want money from me as a sponsor, I'm going to say, okay, what am I going to get in return? The days of old that, oh, I'm a professional disc golfer, you should endorse me and I'll put your little sticker on my sleeve or something, that's moronic. That hasn't gone away, because as a sponsor, when you come to me, the first thing I'm going to do is look at your, the very first thing I'm going to do is look at your social media. How active are you? So are you going to bring the company value? Do you have a negative influence? Do you have a negative personality that is going to look poorly on me or my product or my brand? So you have to keep that in mind, that sponsors, I mean, especially if you're trying to get like Discraft or somebody like that, you gotta behave yourself. I don't want racers with my logo acting like a bunch of morons. Act like adults, be professional. So as a player, if you're going to approach a sponsor for money or for products, let's say a lot of discs, say, well, I'm going to be playing in tournaments, you should sponsor me, I'll bring you attention. But yet you have 50 followers, you have no YouTube presence. monetization is another big thing, because if you see someone with over 1,000 subscribers, they have the ability to monetize. If someone's posting on a regular basis and they have a lot of views and a lot of traffic, or they have a podcast, they have something that they can, that you can, you, that gives you value for a sponsor to hand you money, they will do that. My personal opinion, and my opinion towards other sponsors, is if you're a disc golfer and you're not in the top 20, I'm not giving you money. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, because you're not going to get TV coverage. You're not going to get coverage. You're the lady that's doing well is going to get coverage. The man that's doing well is going to get coverage, or the good looking dude that's doing halfway decent is going to get coverage, or the good looking girl that's doing halfway decent, she's going to get coverage. And unfortunately, that's the way the world works. Don't blame me. Go on YouTube and watch the videos. All of you, in a couple minutes, you'll find out there's more spandex and ass on there than there is anything else. So figure out what your value is. What can you do? Sponsorships and disc golf sponsorships, the racer and motorcycle racing, and the racers have the same problem, is they try to get a sponsor. But sponsors nowadays, we expect something in return. We expect to be talked about. There should be postings about us. We should be tagged in our products. We should be attached to somebody who's very active. And then, unfortunately, there are some sponsors out there who I believe are not doing enough for the players. You have players that are on the pro tour, and you are accepting them as team, and all you're doing is throwing a picture up on the website. That's not good. I think that's lazy by the sponsor, and I think it's also arrogant. They're like, oh, I'm Joe Smo manufacturer, so this person is on my team. They should be happy to be on our team. The pompousness to that is ridiculous. You should be posting about your team members. You should be promoting, pushing your team members, but your team members should be putting up some content. So taking care of their end of the deal too. Simon Lozat's very good at it. Gannon Burr's doing very, very well. Paul McBeth is very good at it. Paul McBeth is obviously a different animal, because he's Paul McBeth, for Christ's sake. But when you talk about money, the reason Paul McBeth and people like him and Gannon and Clemo, well, not so much Clemo, because I don't think people have taken advantage of his name recognition, but Simon Lozat and Macbeth, the reason they get big money deals is because the companies know they can make money off those names. I think Gannon and Eagle have the same potential, and get very smart on Gannon's part for doing a 3-year deal, by the way. Because that way it gives him some negotiating room. If he does well, he doesn't get locked in a big long-term contract, where Paul McBeth, he can get locked into a long-term contract. It's perfectly fine, because he's in a much different situation that Gannon is. But if you want any sponsor for whatever that you're doing to give you money, there's going to have to be some return to it. You're going to have to explain to them what is this money for. Now, I have partnerships that are monetary in nature. Not many, but I got some that are monetary in nature, but they want me to be at certain places not because of my disc golf, but because of what I'm capable of doing with the camera and what I'm capable of doing with people and my reputation and the coverage you're going to receive. It's a different type of partnership, so you have to figure out what your need is. And so if somebody's going to give you money, you got to take care of them. So, because if they only give you $100, for instance, or a couple $100, treat them like they gave you $10,000, because that $100 next year may turn into $1,000, and then it may turn into $5,000. So you have to play the long game. If you want somebody to give you $50,000, you have no YouTube presence, you have no Instagram presence, no TikTok presence, your YouTube channel isn't monetized, you don't have a Pantheon page. There's zero reason why anybody should give you money. So that's where I mean by you have to understand your value. If you do have a large following, or you do have a podcast and you do have a large following on YouTube and things of that nature, you have value. So somebody steps up, this company says, hey, I'm going to give you $50. You need to talk about us each week. No, I don't think so, buddy. So $50 to do ad spots weekly? Don't think so. Not going to happen. Maybe $50 an ad. So if they're at like the nosebleed section of the ad, especially, again, we're talking the fact that you're monetized and you have a high count, that ad spot needs to be appropriate to the volume of your value. So if somebody's wanting to promote a brand, if they want it at the very beginning of an episode or middle of an episode, and you've got a good solid audience and you've got a good solid base, don't accept peanuts. So you know your worth. Say, no, dude, it's got to be more than that, triple that, double that, whatever you feel that you're worth. My opinion is that if somebody's offering you 50 and you say, well, I think in your head you're saying this, you're not saying that to them. In your head you're saying, well, I think 150 is probably a little more fair. I'd be okay with 150. Whatever you would be okay with, add another 50 or 100 bucks to it. The worst they could say is no. So if you think that if you're sitting there on the fence, you're like, okay, well, they're offering 50, I could probably do 150 and they'd probably be okay with it. You're, and again, we're talking about the fact that you have an audience and you're monetized and you have value. We're not talking about Joe Smo who doesn't do shit. We're talking about somebody that has value. So if you're on the fence and you're sitting there him and haul about 150 bucks, just choke up and say 225. So you want the ad spot, it's going to run for 4 weeks, 225. We're going to put it three quarters of the way or towards the end of the episode. You want it at the beginning of the episode or you want it in the middle of the episode, which is traditionally more valuable, then we'll still take the 250, but instead of six episodes, we're going to give you three episodes. But on the three episodes, we'll put it at the front end of the podcast. So, because you know people are going to hear it at the front, and most of the time they're going to sit through the middle. So, you really have to just make sure that you're getting your worth. If you've got a name brand, people know who you are. You carry some weight. You have some value. Make sure you share that with them so that they know there is a value there. Say, hey, I've got 10,000 people listening to me. So they love disc golf. You're about disc golf. Let's partner up. See what we can do here. I just need I'm going to be getting a mic system. It's going to cost me a couple hundred bucks. Hey, help me with that. And I'll promote you on the channel for a month. And little things like that add up, and then try to make it better. I'm not doing this as much as I should, and that's laziness on my part, which I'm going to try to fix, but I'm working on it. So, all right, that's me. I'm getting super tired, so I'm going to try to go get some sleep so we can get some golf in tomorrow, but I just wanted to ramble for a little bit. JT Norton. I've been playing since July of 2022. 2023 was my first year for tournaments. I did 25. I've played disc golf in 256 different courses in 27 states since July of 2022. I'm not counting the years back in the mid 90s. I've traveled and seen some crazy stuff. I'll share some of those stories, like the run in with the rattlesnake and the alligator, and had some issues with some homeless people. So it's been some adventures. So I'll share those in future episodes where we get to ramble like this. All right, I'm going to call it for tonight, and we're going to get after it tomorrow, and I appreciate y'all listening in. This is JT, good throw, good putt, bad putt, doesn't matter. We're playing. Keep on playing. We're going to get better. I guarantee it. Love you guys. Love you gals. See you later. Bye.